540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with overnight Israeli airstrikes on homes in southern Gaza. Survivors, among them children, being pulled from the rubble in Yan Kunis and Rafah, where thousands of people are hoping to cross over into Egypt ahead of an expected Israeli ground invasion of the Gaza Strip. Correspondent Ian Lee reports from Tel Aviv.
The United Nations says more than a million Palestinians have fled from the north to the south in Gaza over the past 2 days, amid continued Israeli airstrikes and a buildup of troops for a ground invasion. Crowds of Palestinians even gathered at Gaza's border with Egypt, unable to cross. Hundreds of tons of aid remain stuck on the Egyptian side.
Later today, President Biden will leave Washington for a high-stakes trip to Israel. CBS's Peter King has the details.
It was the middle of the night in Tel Aviv when Secretary of State Antony Blinken announced the president's visit.
The president will hear from Israel what it needs to defend its people as we continue to work with Congress to meet those needs.
Mr. Biden will also meet with Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, Egypt's president, and Jordan's king, who will host the meeting of those four leaders.
Police in Belgium have shot a suspected Tunisian extremist to death. He was accused of chasing two Swedish soccer fans into a building in Brussels, then shooting them after they got out of a taxi. Prime Minister Alexander De Croo.
The lives were cut short in full flight, condemned by extreme brutality.
The Belgian-Sweden soccer match in Brussels was suspended at halftime before the suspect was located. Republicans will try again today to elect a House Speaker. Correspondent Scott McFarland from Capitol Hill.
Democrats remain unified behind Hakeem Jeffries of New York. This is not going to be a bipartisan coalition, but Jim Jordan, who can lose only 4 or 5 members of his House Republican conference, is getting very close to that magic number.
The search is on for 4 men who escaped from a jail in central Georgia yesterday through a broken window and a cut fence. One of them was being held on a murder charge. Bibb County Sheriff David Davis is asking for the public's help.
This is an all-hands-on-deck situation when something like this happens, so we certainly want people to call in.
Surveillance video shows a blue Dodge Challenger that may have helped the men get away. When it comes to retiring, the U.S. gets a so-so grade of C+. The latest Mercer CFA Institute Global Pension Index blames the way we fund our golden years, mostly through Social Security, 401k savings, and individual retirement accounts. S&P futures down 6. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the radio. Keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade Monkey, Dom and Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast, party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And it is not a frozen Lake Wissota, but we're one step closer, 32 degrees up here in Chippewa Falls. Hey there, Wisconsin, good morning. It's Tuesday, October 17th. Another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, over the Civic Media app, by podcast, social media, whatever brings you here to the state of Wisconsin sense. Welcome up north, where we will unpack the news for you coming up in just a bit. But let's start with those temperatures. 32, as I mentioned, up here on Lake Wissota. Madison coming in at 34 degrees right now. Waukesha down to 30. La Crosse is at 40. Wausau, 33 degrees. Wisconsin Rapids, you're down at 30. Green Bay, 34 degrees. And in Hayward this morning, folks listening to the buzz of the north, I think that's the buzz of a crackling wood stove, because in Hayward right now, it's 28 degrees. Here's what's on tap this morning. It was a lie all along. Legislative Republicans now admit they were making it up when state senators pretended to fire the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Megan Wolf. We'll talk about that story. Also, Governor Tony Evers has found a way to get around those same Republicans who refused to help struggling child care providers stay in business. And with a stroke of a pen, he has reallocated some funds that will keep child care accounts around for a little while longer, at least. And as we know, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is being asked to throw out the current gerrymandered maps that have rigged legislative elections here for the past 12 years. Motions were filed in that case yesterday, and the plaintiffs in that case officially made the request not only to throw out the current maps, but for the court itself to draw entirely new maps for all of the legislative districts, and to do that by March of next year. So a short timetable, but if that were to be granted by the state Supreme Court, and if those maps were to be drawn in time, and if appeals were to be exhausted in time, then all of the members of the Wisconsin legislature would have to stand for re-election all at once in brand new districts in November of next year. So we'll have those stories coming up. Christina Lurie will have the uplift, some of the stories she's working on for our daily newsletter. In our second hour, we'll talk about how Wisconsin pioneered the role of agricultural cooperatives, and perhaps it's time to go back to the future. We'll talk to an expert about the value of cooperatives to a local economy, and we'll explore what the greater economy might look like if we had more co-ops to help essentially democratize the markets. We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser and our guest Courtney Berner about that topic. We'll get the weatherology forecast and just see how cold things are going to be for the middle part of this week. And along the way, if you have questions or comments, other input on the show, you're welcome to give us a ring at 844 844- 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or you can comment on Facebook. We are on several Facebook pages with a live video feed of this radio show. Put your comments there. We may see them and put them up on the air as well. Let's head down the highway now to Madison, the Civic Media headquarters, where Sam Davison is standing by, the pride of Ringel, to tell us just how did you cope with 34 degree temperatures there? Did you say it was a little icy on the windshield?
It was. I don't have an ice scraper in my car either, so I had to bust out my credit cards to scrape out a chunk of the
Come
window.
Come on. You are a northern Wisconsin native.
It's in a different car back home. I only have one between two cars, and I forgot it.
I know we got more scrapers than that out there, so we've got to hook you up with a scraper.
I know,
got
to get one.
We were talking just before the show about furnaces and making sure that you test them out, you know, in the daytime. You don't want to find out in the middle of the night on the first cold night that your furnace isn't firing up. And you mentioned at least, you know, back in the day when you were growing up, you had a fireplace or a wood stove that you stoked?
Yeah, at my parents' house, we have a fireplace. So a lot of times we still have the furnace running during the winter, but we just burn wood to save on propane some.
Sure. Yeah, makes sense. When I was living with my dad while attending UW Eau Claire, and I took over the basement bedroom, and so it became my job, and I'm sure he was very relieved to give up that job. It was my job to set an alarm for 3 a.m. and put some more wood in the stove and keep the house nice and warm. And a good friend of mine was working the overnight shift as a disc jockey at one of the local radio stations. Mm-hmm. And so I'd put the radio on for a couple of minutes because you have to make sure that the fire, you know, that it catches and that it's burning clean, and then close up the vents a bit, shut the doors and whatnot. And I remember one day turning on the radio and not hearing anything. And I thought, oh, the radio station must be off air. There must be some technical difficulties or something like that. And mm-hmm. and then he told me like later that day or the next day that no, he'd actually fallen asleep during his overnight DJ job and was no longer working the DJ job there. And what I should have offered him the job of stoking our wood stove at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You were up.
Well,
he wasn't,
yeah, you're
apparently.
Right. You know what? Yeah. Yeah, we might have woken up with numb fingers and toes, so never mind. I take that back. If you've got a wood stove, you know, by all means, enjoy it safely and responsibly, and stay nice and toasty this week with these cooler temperatures. We will take a break, tell you what's in today's newsletter from Up North News, and unpack some of the headlines for you and a little bit of sports as well. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, as we get going on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
No, I'm not playing a joke on you, I promise. Playing Summer Breeze like this. This is just to tell you that Jim Seals is 82 years old today of Seals and Crofts. And we'll have more birthdays and other notes in today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. Hey, you can sign up for some unabashedly Wisconsin news and get it in your inbox early every morning. Christina Laurie puts it together. She'll tell us more about what she's working on in a bit, but I will tell you that today's newsletter includes stories about the DNR hiring right now for park managers. There's a feature story in there about House on the Rock. If you've never been, you got to go. And some of the newest Wisconsin additions to the National Registry of Historic Places. And so to get that and more delivered your way every weekday morning, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the top banner, and you get yourself subscribed there. If you click on store in the top banner, then you'll also see that we have some t-shirts and some tote bags that are for sale, all on some kind of a theme relating to Up North News. But Sam, I have bad news, something we don't have in the store right now.
What don't we have?
Is Up North News coffee mugs, because the one and only Up North News coffee mug that you used to see here every morning is gone now.
What happened?
Having been dropped by somebody with butterfingers in the kitchen sink right after the show, I thought, do I want more coffee? I had a little bit more, and I'm like, no, I think I'm done. So I went to go put the Up North News mug in the sink, slipped out of my fingers, and hit the bottom of the sink and crashed into the one Up North News mug that we had. It was just to, you know, like, it was kind of like a test product and see if it would sell and everything. And we never did mass produce it. But now the one is gone. It's gone. So
you have to now.
Tells me, yeah, now I gotta do it. We gotta come up with new coffee mugs. If anybody has ideas for designs or fun little sayings that would go on a mug, you know, shoot me an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. In the meantime, the one I've got here is lovely. It's got all my grandkids on here, you know, and that's a nice thing. But you always want to be shilling for the company whenever you can. Which, by the way, are there Civic Media mugs down there in the radio place?
Not in the office here. They might exist, but I haven't seen them.
I'm wondering, with all the work that goes on, you know, building, you're building a radio network literally from the ground up. And so there's so many things to think about. So I have no idea where merchandise fits in all that. I know you've got a graphic designer done it because you've got the posters and all the show logos and all the station logos.
I have a sticker on my laptop from here.
Oh, yeah. We've got lots of stickers for like up here at 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls. So maybe coffee mugs, because people love their travel mugs, but there's always room in the kitchen for a nice ceramic mug, you know, that's attractive or has something funny on it. So I guess we got to get to work on that. So RIP coffee mug, we'll miss you.
But we'll remember you.
The coffee's still hot, whatever vessel it goes in. Let's check sports real quick here as we come up on 6:19. First, the baseball playoffs, the National League, Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies are off to another powerful start at home in the NL Championship Series. Harper smashed the first pitch he saw on his 31st birthday into the seats. Kyle Schwarber hit his first homer of the postseason on the first pitch of the game. Nick Castellanos went deep as well to lead Philadelphia past the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-3 in Game 1 on Monday night. Game 2 is tonight in Philly. In the American League, the defending World Series champion Houston Astros have been knocked back on their heels, down 2-0 after the Texas Rangers beat them yesterday afternoon 5-4, taking both of the first two games in Houston before the series moves to Dallas tomorrow. Badger football quarterback Tanner Mordecai is out indefinitely after breaking his throwing hand in Saturday's loss at Iowa. Coach Luke Fickle confirmed Monday that Mordecai had undergone surgery on Sunday after Mordecai hit the helmet of an Iowa player after a pass attempt. Fickle did not set a timetable for if or when the sixth-year senior would make a return. We haven't talked about the Badger hockey teams yet. We mentioned the volleyball team yesterday and the strong start that they're getting, a record-breaking start to the season. But let's talk Badger hockey for a moment. The women's hockey team remains the top-ranked team in the nation with a 6-0 record. Their win last weekend gave Coach Mark Johnson his 600th career victory. They play in Madison this coming weekend against Minnesota State. The men's hockey team is 3-1 with two more games to go before opening up Big Ten conference play. Their only loss was last Saturday at 7th-ranked North Dakota. This weekend, they'll be at 17th-ranked Michigan Tech. Now let's unpack the news at 6:20. You are always welcome to chime in here at any point on the phone at 844-967-2789 or leave us a comment on one of the Facebook pages and we'll perhaps put that up and respond to that as well. And you can't, you can not only call 844-967-2789, you can text that number as well if you have a comment. And you can do both of those through the Civic Media app. If you get the Civic Media app on your phone, you can listen to any of the stations around the network. You can listen to all kinds of sports, high school and college sports on there. You can call in to any of the shows through the app, and you can text any of the shows through the app. So consider getting the Civic Media app as well. All right, three significant state-based issues to tell you about here, if you missed it at the very top of the program. One is about Governor Evers saving the Child Care Counts program with absolutely no help from Republican legislators. We have Republican legislators admitting in a court filing that it was all made up when they pretended to fire Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And motions have been filed in the gerrymandering lawsuit that could, if granted, lead to entirely new legislative district maps in Wisconsin, perhaps for the November 2024 elections, where perhaps the entire legislature could turn over and have to stand on the ballot. So let's take those in order. We'll talk about the governor saving child care counts, and I'll let you know that if you head to upnorthnewswi.com, you'll see my story on there that was posted yesterday. And it came in three distinct parts. First, there was, of course, what we did talk about yesterday, Republicans scrapping his special session bill in its entirety, including helping the child care counts program, and instead saying, we're not going to compromise on any of these things. We want the same tax cut for the wealthy that you vetoed before or have said you'll veto. We're just going to put that back in. So no progress there. Shortly after that, yesterday, came the official final word on the state budget surplus. You know, the state budget is a two-year thing. They do this every 2 years. And their fiscal year ends on June 30th. And so the things that they did all this last spring were for a two-year budget cycle that just ended. The official numbers in, and on June 30th, at the end of this last budget cycle, Wisconsin had a budget surplus of nearly $7.1 billion. That thing that Republicans say, you know, is made up or not really there, and yet they're willing to spend it when it comes to tax cuts, but not invest it. Yeah, that was made official. That $7 billion is there. And Governor Evers again proposed doing various things with it, supporting the University of Wisconsin system, working on various workforce development projects, implementing a paid family leave program, and helping with child care counts, which has been funded up to this point with federal pandemic relief money. And all of this time now, The program has provided $650 million in direct assistance to more than 4,000 child care providers since 2020. It has kept 22,000 child care professionals employed, and those child care professionals care for more than 113,000 children. But many of them risked going out of business if they could not find a way to stay supported without jacking up their rates, which would then make child care even less affordable and lead more people to leave the workforce because they can't find an affordable child care option for their kids. So the federal funding was working. And Governor Evers said, hey, we got this big surplus. This would be a great time to invest in this. It's an investment in workforce development. Republicans basically gave him a big middle finger again. And so Governor Evers responded yesterday saying, well, wait, what do we have here? We still have a little bit of unallocated federal pandemic relief. And so we're going to apply $170 million toward child care accounts so that instead of running out of money this coming January, that's enough to keep it around until March of 2025. So again, it's not permanent funding. But at least for now, a whole lot of child care providers are less nervous about going out of business. A whole lot of employers are less nervous about losing some good workers because Governor Evers decided to make that investment because he could, because the legislature wasn't willing to be a partner in that effort, especially at a time of a record surplus. There was a court filing yesterday about the redistricting, not about the redistricting case, we'll get to that in a minute, but there was a court filing that was made by Republicans on the issue of whether Megan Wolf, the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, had been fired or not in a recent state Senate vote. And Republican lawmakers have now admitted that the vote to fire her had no legal impact. They said in court documents that the vote was, quote, symbolic and meant to signal disapproval of Administrator Wolf's performance. You'll recall that the vote was held in September with Republicans basically using her as a scapegoat for conspiracy theorists making up excuses about former President Trump's loss in 2020. Attorney General Josh Call immediately filed a lawsuit to ask a court to intervene. Republicans have now admitted that they knew all along that their vote had no impact. So Megan Wolf will stay on the job as the nationally acclaimed administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, keeping Wisconsin elections safe and secure and accurate. Remember, I told you all of this. I told you this was all in their imagination. They were hoping you'd buy it. They were hoping she would buy it. They hoped everyone around them would bow to their wisdom and power. Come on, guys. We got big problems. We don't have time for your make-believe games just to placate the goofballs who are still telling lies and conspiracies about the 2020 election. We've got much bigger fish to fry. Get busy on those. And again, there's not too much more detail needed on the gerrymandering lawsuit. Opening arguments in front of the state Supreme Court will be held next month. Motions were due the other day, and those motions included a request by the plaintiffs, representing some of the voters who brought the suit, to say that if successful, they don't just want the current maps thrown out. They want the court to draw all new maps by next March, so that conceivably the entire legislature stands for re-election in brand new redrawn districts in November of next year. We'll take a break. We'll bring in Christina Lori next and have the uplift, some of the uplifting stories she puts together in that daily newsletter that you'll find at upnorthnewswi.com. Back next.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Homes flattened by Israeli airstrikes in southern Gaza, where thousands of people are waiting to escape to Egypt ahead of an expected Israeli ground invasion. Secretary of State Blinken says President Biden will leave for Tel Aviv later today.
He's coming here at a critical moment for Israel, for the region, and for the world.
Humanitarian aid for Gaza still stalled. Police in Brussels have killed a suspected terrorist who shot two Swedish soccer fans to death. Belgian Prime Minister Alexander De Croo.
These terrorist attacks that took place last night, and they are cowards. The perpetrators targeted specifically Swedish supporters who were in Brussels to attend a Red Devils soccer match.
Lawmakers in Washington will vote again today on a House speaker. Jim Jordan hopes he'll have the support he needs.
It's not about pressuring anybody, it's just about we got to have a speaker.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Let's talk to Christina Laurie a bit about some of the stories that she's been putting together for our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Pat?
Very good, thanks. I think we're all just a little bit soggy coming off of a weekend that saw more than a little rain for folks. Your classic large storm system that brings a lot of rain, but in a couple of more months, it's going to bring something else. And can't have snowbirds without snow, and Wisconsin's export of snowbirds is probably as strong as ever. But what is life like as a snowbird? I'm glad you asked somebody.
It sounds pretty ideal, Pat. So I talked to the Adler family, Marlene Adler. She endured 65 Wisconsin winters. So after her and her husband Jim raised their four kids, they decided it was time to get the heck out of Wisconsin during the winter months. And they winter in Arizona. But for anyone unfamiliar, snowbird is the term that people use to describe Northerners who move to warmer southern states in the winter. For the Adlers, again, that's Arizona, which is home. They picked it because it's home to their very favorite place in the world, the Chiricahua National Monument in the southeastern part of the state. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I've been there, still can't pronounce it. But it's just a really nice lifestyle, and it really shows that people still love things here in Wisconsin. So I had to pick the Adler's brains. I asked them a few different questions. First, how they settled on Arizona, because most people, when you think snowbird, you think Florida. But they tried Florida for 7 weeks. They just didn't feel at home there. And so they just really love all of the outdoor activities that you can do in Arizona, and found it a lot less humid, and they didn't have to factor in the hurricanes. They also love this thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, Pat. It's called geocaching. Their son introduced it to them. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, geocaching was quite a big thing, especially when GPS was still relatively new, that people kind of used GPS as a way to kind of go on a bit of a digital treasure hunt, I guess you could call it.
Exactly. It's basically a treasure hunt, and you just use the GPS to find that caches that people leave across the country. Their son, the Adler's son, introduced them to it in 2007. So that's how they use that as an incentive to get outside every day. But I couldn't let our conversation end without asking their favorite things from Wisconsin that they miss when they're in the South. So I asked them what food they miss most from Wisconsin. That would be lutefisk. They're mostly Norwegian. So that's what they miss. That's not exactly what I would have said.
No, I was waiting for you to say fresh curds or something. Bratwursts. I don't know.
Yeah. What would be yours?
It would probably be brats, you know, because I've discovered as I get around the country, the things that, and obviously everything has got some kind of a regional flair to it, but you know, you expect to see these things and you can't necessarily find a good brat or a fresh cheese curd or things, you know, just everywhere around the country. I just wouldn't have guessed lutefisk is all.
I know. I would have said like a fresh charcuterie board, because no place really does it here. Like, I mean, just even more specifically a cheese plate. But last thing I asked her about Wisconsin is if there's a certain place within the state, because as they're making their way towards the South, they make sure that they kind of like travel the whole state of Wisconsin when it's still fall to check out the leaves. And I asked them just one place in Wisconsin they think everyone should visit in their lifetime. And they said the Lee Yawkey Woodson Museum for their birds and art show, which happens every fall. It's actually happening right now through the month of November. It's near Wausau. Mm-hmm. I guess it's on the drive back from Wausau. And then they recommend also stopping at the Pinewood Supper Club. They say every time they're in Wisconsin, they have to go to that supper club that's in Wanakee.
That's another thing that you'd miss in other places. There's restaurants everywhere. There's just something about a supper club, you know, that you would miss. All right. I've mentioned cheese curds a couple of times. It could be that my notes in front of me say that among the stories you've been working on are what people are saying about the best cheese curds of Wisconsin. And of course, there's no single curd because there's all these different types. So do we break them down by type and get many responses to who's best?
We do. So we are just fresh off National Cheese Curd Day, which officially was Sunday, but it's never too late to celebrate here in Wisconsin. Amen. So we decided to go through, I mean, obviously, like any, you know, best of list, cheese curds are so subjective. So we decided to be really kind of systematic with our research. And we just went specifically based on which places won the most awards for their curds. And then we broke them down by cheese curd type. So the best straight up flavored curds are from Ellsworth Cooperative in Ellsworth, Wisconsin. They won the world championship cheese contest. Can't argue with the best in the world. Now, when it comes to best fried curds, you'll want to head to Madison because they have several different winners of different categories. So they won the USA Today's Best Curds contest, the old fashioned did. That's right across the street from the Capitol. Mm-hmm. But then if you specifically look at best fried curds from a place that has 2 to 5 locations, you can just head to a different corner of the Capitol Square, to the Great Dane.
Oh, yes.
There's also locations in Wausau and Fitchburg. They have quite the amazing curds. I'm always astonished by how far the cheese pull goes on those. And then Travel Wisconsin crowned Culver's, of course, with their Crown of the Curd Awards for best fried curds with more than five locations. But then just a couple other things that we found. The best curd food truck, the Curd Girl, won USA Today's poll of the best curds contest across the whole country. The Curd Girl, a lot of times you'll find it, I think they're based out of Madison, but they travel to summer festivals all across the entire state. And then last but not least, the best curd festival award goes to Green County Cheese Days, which won Travel Wisconsin's big award for best festivals in the state, and that's in Monroe.
And let's go to the RIP category for cheese curds, because I have to say that the Volume One store in Eau Claire sells vintage t-shirts of things that are no longer there, like Kerm's Superfoods Market and the Camaraderie, which was like the most famous bar on Water Street for, you know, a couple of decades before it burned down many years ago. But the Camaraderie was known nationally for its cheese curds. They were the first time I had, you know, fried cheese curds. I still have that memory with me. So I'll wear that t-shirt every now and then. And somebody will go, oh, the Com. Oh, those are my first cheese curds. Love those cheese curds. So we've been doing them right in Wisconsin for some time. And some people still can't forget some of their early favorites.
And I just cheese tip for you is that if you don't finish your bag, it's a lot of times like you buy the big bag of fresh curds from the farmer's market and they're unbeatable that first, you know, 1 or 2 days. But if you feel like they're not at peak freshness anymore, all you have to do is pop them in the microwave for 10 to 15 seconds and the squeak comes back to them.
The squeak comes back, and then there, it's like a hybrid of, you know, the fresh curd, but you're not deep frying it. So yeah, if you haven't tried that, that's another cheese tip, as you said. One more topic to hit here. Let's talk about a chef in Wisconsin, a James Beard award-winning chef who's written up his first cookbook.
Yes, we frequently earlier this year, we were talking about the James Beard Awards. It's basically the Oscars of the culinary world. And the only Wisconsin chef that walked away with a Best Chef of the Midwest Award this past year was Chef Francesco Mangiano from Osteria Papavero in Madison. It's on East Wilson Street, just about a block and a half from the Capitol. Most things in Madison, you'll find just people tell you where they are in relation to the Capitol. So it's about a block and a half away. It's a fantastic Italian restaurant. And now he's teaching you how to make your favorite dishes that previously you were only able to order at his restaurant at home. In his first cookbook, it's fittingly called the Osteria Papavero Cookbook, Recipes from the Italian Shack and Beyond. And Mangiano is originally from a small town in Italy. So these are truly authentic Italian dishes. But what's so great about them is that, one, they don't require a lot of ingredients. Two, they don't take a lot of your time. And three, they're actually all things that you want to eat a lot of times, like when you're going through cookbooks, like the pictures make it look good, but then they have some random rogue ingredient that either is really expensive, you don't even know what aisle it would be in at the grocery store, or maybe it's not even available at your grocery store at all. But Mangiano's recipes are all like very accessible. They're family friendly. They're great things to make with your kids too. And because it's Italian food, pretty much everyone likes it. Some of my favorites that I would just recommend, I quickly was flipping through the cookbook when I was talking to him. The classic lasagna bolognese is amazing. Carrot ginger soup. I know it's soup season. That combo might seem a little weird. But the soup is not only beautiful, it's like a bright orange color, but it's super fresh. And it would just surprise me. I think anyone would like it. And then the big part that a lot of people are buying this cookbook for is that he has his, until now, secret recipe for butterscotch pudding, which he calls Budino. It's their best-selling dish at Osteria by far, and it's absolutely incredible. Have you ever been there, Pat?
I have not. And I now have to make that mental note to get over there next time I'm down at the Civic Media headquarters, which are also just a block off the Capitol Square. Because even again, for your basic thing, like a lasagna bolognese, I could never get enough of that, of trying different people's variations on that. And so I would go just for that. But the butterscotch pudding as a dessert, I mean, that's the metaphorical cherry on top, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And just a last good tip about this cookbook and pretty much any cookbook that you'll find from a Wisconsin chef is that they're really mindful about where you can get your ingredients too. So like they have a lot of different ways that you can use the ingredients that you pick up at your local farmer's market. So then you're, making recipes from a Wisconsin chef using Wisconsin ingredients, win-win for everyone.
And as if all that wasn't enough, also some of the day's headlines, including at least three times a week, a column or editorial from yours truly, all that and much more in the newsletter that Christina Lurie puts together for us. Christina, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Turning back to some of the other headlines here out of Washington, D.C., there's going to be a vote this afternoon, allegedly, apparently, possibly, on who should be the next Speaker of the House of Representatives in the nation's capital. And all eyes are on Jim Jordan as the person who has many votes, but may not have enough votes. Remember, it's a 4-vote margin that Republicans have in the House. And so all it takes is 5 Republicans to say, no, not this guy. Not this guy who wasn't just supportive of the insurrection, but helped foment it, that helped Donald Trump spread lies that undermined the integrity of the 2020 election, who has been nothing but a sycophant for Donald Trump ever since, who has weaponized government with his so-called government weaponizing committee, which is simply a way to investigate the investigators behind the January 6th insurrection. I mean, there are so many other reasons politically and personally where Jim Jordan would simply cement Donald Trump's, fingerprints on this current House of Representatives. And it would really be saying something if there aren't 5 so-called moderates, if there aren't just 5 decent members of Congress willing to stand up and say, hey, there might be other people in this caucus that are a tough vote, but this should be an easy vote not to have Jim Jordan speaking for us. Unfortunately, none of those people are from Wisconsin. All of the members of the Wisconsin congressional delegation have said they are behind Jim Jordan to become the next House Speaker, despite him seeking a pardon from Donald Trump for potential election crimes, despite his wanting to ban same-sex marriage, despite his support for a national abortion ban, despite his never having passed a single bill in 16 years in office, despite the allegations that he knew about a sexual abuse scandal while at Ohio State University and helped cover it up. Despite all of this, we'll find out later today if there are at least 5 decent, upstanding Republican members of the United States House of Representatives to say, let's look at somebody else. Let's even look at potential bipartisanship in choosing a speaker. But is Jim Jordan really the way you want to go? Today's history lesson and music break next. You're up north.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values.
So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A frost advisory continues until 7 a.m. this morning. Mainly sunny skies and calm today with highs around 57. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 41. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 63. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye. Let him hold you tight.
This is The Drifters.
You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight.
And this was the number one song in America on this day in 1960.
So darling, say the last dance for me.
All right, let's take a look at what else is on today's history lesson and take a little music break. On this day in 1973, OPEC imposed an oil embargo against the U.S. and other countries they deemed to have helped Israel in the Yom Kippur War. It's been 50 years since what was then known as the Arab oil embargo. Long lines at gas stations, and America thinking, hey, maybe we need to do something about this and not be so reliant on petroleum products, and especially oil that comes from the Middle East. The United States has made great gains in those areas, still has a ways to go, though. I still don't feel like in 50 years, the urgency of that moment has ever been fully embraced. And as a result, we still see gas prices that have these crazy shifts up and down. Hey, the number one song this week in 1964 was by Manfred Mann.
There she was, just walking down the street singing.
All right, while you get that one stuck in your head and tapping your toes, we'll tell you that Norm, actor George Wendt, is 75 years old today. Isn't he one of those who... How old was he when Cheers first started? And everybody thinks he was 20 years older. And so you'd think, wow, how old is he now? But he's only 75 years old today. Wycliffe Jean is 54 years old today. NSYNC founding member Chris Kirkpatrick is 52. And rapper Eminem is 51 years old today. Here's the number one song from this day in 1970. It was by the Jackson 5. Would be the number one song for 5 weeks in a row.
You and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back.
And for those of you wondering who are a little too young to remember this, yes, this was the original. Mariah Carey did not do it first. On this day in 1977, Lynyrd Skynyrd released Street Survivors. It would turn out to be the last album with frontman Ronnie Van Zant and guitarist Steve Gaines, as both were killed 3 days later after the band's plane crashes on its way to Baton Rouge. The number one song this day in 1987 was by one of those kind of one-hit wonders. Maybe they had a second hit, can't recall. Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam.
Lost in emotion.
Jody mentioned that Jim Seals of Seals and Crofts is 82 today. Country singer Alan Jackson turns 65 years old today. And Gary Puckett of Gary Puckett and the Union Gap turns 81. Here's the interesting thing. He was born on this day in 1942 in Hibbing, Minnesota. Yeah, the same place where Bob Dylan was born. And they were only a year apart. And so people have asked, you know, the what ifs of history. What if Bob Dylan and Gary Puckett had both stayed in Hibbing, Minnesota? What kind of a band would they have formed? What kind of a musical duo? What kind of hits might they have created? Makes for one of those great little parlor conversations about music, having two big names coming from one small town up north. On this day in 1998, there was a number one hit by the Bare Naked Ladies, and it stayed a number hit one hit for 1 week.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days.
On this day in 1989, Billy Joel released the album Stormfront with the enduring hit We Didn't Start the Fire. There was also I Go to Extremes. We'll hear that a little bit later on. And Shameless. Recall we heard the Garth Brooks version of that a week or two back. It was actually originally, it's a Billy Joel song. It was on Stormfront in 1989. Garth Brooks remade it in 1991 and completely made it his own. And that is today's history lesson and music break. Though, Sam, I have to ask, in terms of a history lesson, We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel is about as much of a history lesson as it gets musically. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I've heard the whole entirety of somebody did a remake of it recently or an updated version of it. Do you recall who that was?
I don't know who. It's probably multiple Fallout
Boy
versions.
Fallout Boy. That's right. I should have had you cue that one up, and I'm just calling up some of the lyrics right now. Captain Planet, Arab Spring, LA Riots, Rodney King, Deep Fakes, Earthquakes, Iceland Volcano, Oklahoma City Bomb, Kurt Cobain Pokemon, Tiger Woods MySpace, Monsanto GMOs, and on it goes. Like I said, I've only heard have you heard that or just in passing?
I think once I've heard it.
I wonder if they thought, you know, that, you know, We Didn't Start the Fire was such a, you know, it was a big hit for its time. Now everybody mm-hmm. will tell you that it's overplayed. Even Billy Joel makes fun of his own song when he's in concert right now about he calls it like the dumbest, most simplistic melody that he's ever written, you know, because it's very tit. I'm sure Fall Out Boy thought, well, maybe they can, you know, maybe lightning can strike twice. But I think they underestimated the degree to which baby boomers are woefully narcissistic and self-absorbed in their own history.
I don't think Fall Out Boy's target audience has quite reached that stage of like old age nostalgia.
No, and I think that you had a generation then that was, I mean, you only had three channels to watch. So you were watching Walter Cronkite or Huntley and Brinkley do the news. Everybody knew what was going on. Now everything is so fractured, which, again, is good and bad. We have more choices than ever. You can get the things you like, but it often means you don't get the things you need, which might include some of the news of the day. I would, as I continue looking at their lyrics, I'd almost like to turn it into a quiz and just see, pick people of certain age groups. Let's say, 50s, 40s, 30s. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair to do this to people in their 20s. And then just see how many of them where they go, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, they're going to get Robert Downey Jr. Are they going to get Cambridge Analytica? You know, they're going to get Obama. Are they going to understand Unabomber? And I think that would be a great little experiment. I'm not saying it would be great entertaining radio, okay? I'm just saying it would be an interesting sociological experiment to figure out why poor Fall Out Boy couldn't have the success that Billy Joel did. When we come back, we will talk about cooperatives in Wisconsin, the history of them, how they don't necessarily just have to be something for farmers. Might they have a future in Wisconsin? That and more in our next hour on Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.